This is Delta Brass Stocks. You are on the air. Good morning.
Hello.
Hi, good morning. Are you there?
Yes, good morning. I'm here, you.
Welcome to Brass Stocks.
Good morning. Now, I did call to ask about one question, mm-hmm. but since I've been listening, I'll have to comment on two others. Can you still hear me?
Sure.
Yeah. Now, I'd call first. This one was for Mr. Athalee. He said that there wasn't an opposition, so he decided that he would go over and offer his services as an opposition leader. Now, I would like to find out. I don't know his number or anything, but this is just my opinion. Mm-hmm. If he had been offered a ministry of whatever, would he have within himself, knowing that we didn't have an opposition, tell the Prime Minister, no, I'll tell you what. I know you have endowed me with the ministry of something, but since we've not got an opposition, you can give this ministry to somebody else, and I will be the leader of the... I'll take up the leadership position of the opposition. Make sense to you what I'm saying?
There's valid in the sense that if he had a ministry, would he have contemplated going over to the leader of the opposition? And and from face value, because we really don't know what his thought process was, but from
we really don't know.
We don't know if he was compelled to because he thought. And I heard him, you know, I heard when the Honorable Joe Athalee was saying he thought it best to go over as a means of ensuring that there was democracy in the country. That was one of his justifications.
But so. One thing that would have been, it would make it easier for us all to understand. If he had come out up front, no, Miss Prime Ministress, we have all the seats in Parliament, and we really should have an opposition, else the scale is going to be going down one side, and the other side is going to be all up there, so you want it to come down a little bit, you know, where you up and forward until we get something in between there. Mm-hmm. Then you were, you know, dispersing your ministries and so on and so forth. Just don't, I'd prefer if you didn't include me in a ministerial position, because since there is no opposition and we should have an opposition, I think I'll take the lesser whatever mm-hmm. as being the leader of the opposition up front. Mm. No, I'm going to leave that apart.
Okay.
The next thing is, now that I've been listening about the water bill. Mm-hmm. Now, we waste too much water here in Barbados. When we think
for
about
water scarce,
water,
for a water scarce country.
When we think about the water wastage that go on here, some of these people should ask if they don't know anyone in Bahamas or in Antigua how precious water is. Water in Antigua, as I can tell you, my daughter lives there, is so precious. They call one government water. That's the one where the trucks come around every day mm-hmm. and give you water for drinking and cooking and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. Because every house must have a tank where they'll be getting rainwater, which is very little because we don't get much rainfall in Antigua either, right? Mm-hmm. So therefore, my daughter once called me and said to me, as a usual, Mommy, remember then? Mommy, I called to thank you. I said, what are you going to thank me about today? For having taught me how from a little girl to turn off the pipe when I'm bathing and not to wash the water with the pipe running. We had two basins in the sink. One was to wash the dishes, mm-hmm. one was to rinse them. When the one that's rinsing needs changing, you wash in that mm-hmm. and you get a clean one for the other one. Okay?
Yes.
When you go in that bath, and I think you're taking too long to soak your skin, I said, turn that pipe off. And if it wasn't off in my time, I will step in my clothes and turn the pipe off. So she knew when she went to Antigua how to cope with little water. When my granddaughter from Antigua came to me once to spend a holiday, I said to her, now when you go in the bath, don't forget to turn off the water. Oh, Granny, I know that. Mommy told us that from small. Mm-hmm. No, you wash when you have a load of clothes, and you'll be saving on water, and you'll be saving on electricity. If you don't have a washing machine, then you people go to use the tub of some sort to wash. They'll wash and they turn the pipe off because they're saving on the soap. Yes. Have you ever been around and seen anybody, maybe like an old aunt or great aunt or something like that? Have you ever noticed how they wash and when they're rinsing, they never turn the pipe on until off until they finish? Don't need that.
Interesting.
You don't need that. Mm-hmm. And this will bring us to a common denominator. If you want to save on your water bill, you can. Mm. The next thing is electricity. Do we have to light up the whole house like a Christmas tree? Do we have to turn on the radios in all the rooms? I spend most of my time in my bedroom. And when I'm going out of my bedroom, I flick the switch on my radio. All right?
Mm-hmm.
So we will know that water cannot come over the earth until we have electricity to pump it up. So what are we complaining of? You understand where I'm coming from?
Yes. Very okay. much. So I think the essence of what you're saying here is conservation. And managing how we utilize the resources.
Not only that, you are saving in your pocket.
Right, which then results, I didn't get to that second part, which then results in the saving. So while there has been an increase in the tax, it is also at us now, the responsibility is at us to ensure that we don't use as much of the resource, which would then draw the tax or, you know, lead for the tax to be put on. And that's a very valid suggestion, and that's where my part here in terms of encouraging people to take a little bit more personal responsibility in their actions and in their choices. Because when we talk about bearing the burden isn't only about what you pay at the pump or what you pay on the bill. Bearing the burden is being more conservative, making sure that you don't waste, making sure that you look out for somebody else. You can give somebody a ride. I was talking to another neighbor. There's a possibility of a little bit more carpooling. You live in a neighborhood where four children go to one school. There could be a possibility where there's pickup with two different days and be more congenial, more community oriented and save a little bit. But those are things that we have to have a more, and that's where the creativity comes in. People have to consider them and not scoff at them or see them as something that is a problem, but see them as something that helps them at their pocket at the end of the day. So thank you so much for your awesome contribution. You have one more? Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, before you go. Now, when we get to the kitchen, I almost forgot this. I always kept a basin of water in the sink. When you have finished using a plate, a cup, or what have you, open the pipe about half ounce to wash off whatever is on the plate. But you put it into that basin, so whoever is doing the dishes, don't waste the water. Is that so hard?
It's not hard, but again, it comes with people being able to accept a little bit of change and strengthening their the way they do things. And I like it, but I for one, we all have different ways in which we were brought up and how we did things, and then what we prefer in our own households. I know for sure you wet the plate whenever you put it in the sink. About the basin, that's going a little further now, where you add that liquid in there to soften the whatever the thing is on the plate, so that the next time you go to wash it, you do have some water. So useful suggestions. And this is where I see the creativity of Barbadians come into the fore and the ingenuity. You know, think about some other things. Don't just do it the same way you've been doing it all along and then complain about something that has been suggested, you know, but try and find, you know, ways in which we can improve how we use the resources. As the lady just said, turn off the light if you're not in the room. And I think that this doesn't only go for persons. I think a lot of our agencies, government agencies and institutions, they can save on resources as well by ensuring that the person who leaves last turns off some of the lights and stuff. I know every single, in some rooms, you have to have the AC on to keep the computer and the network and everything running and going. I know that happens, but I'm sure the whole building doesn't have to be lit and doesn't have to be powered like if it was any day. So this is Down to Brass Tacks. You are on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, Ms. Gale.
Hi, good morning.
There are 3 points I would like to make. What was your definition of the opposition?
I can give you it again. That the leader of the opposition is the person who commands the support of the largest number of persons in Parliament who don't support the government.
So you can have an opposition of one?
Yes, you can. Remember, the Constitution doesn't recognize a party.
But IMC, I don't know if you have read those articles by Mr. Joseph or something like that. He's questioning whether it is the Constitution allows for an opposition of one.
But if the Constitution says the leader of the opposition is a person who commands the support of the largest number of persons in Parliament who don't support the government, what is difficult about that? He can write a thesis on it. But the reality is that you have to be in Parliament. But and in this scenario, we didn't have anybody else who was not in Parliament.
He's supporting himself. So how can a person support himself?
Well, the thing about this, and that's why I think I may use this word a little often for the day, the word creativity. When we do things differently or when something else comes up that we're not accustomed to, we're very quick to shut it down. Barbados has never been in the queer position that it found itself in on the 25th of May, 2018. And that's where you then look at the Constitution and you go like, you know, this would have been relevant for 1966, but, you know, it would have made provision for the possibility. But of course, because it wasn't the happening at that time, there wasn't the wording that spoke specifically to it, but it still captures it because it defines what an opposition is. But that's just my thought.
If Mr. Adley did not cross, what would have happened?
We would not have had a leader of the opposition. And I remember the Prime Minister at the time on the night. I don't think she was sworn in as yet, but I think the leader of the Minister Motley at the time had said what she would do is make provision for two opposition senators. And I remember someone saying that there is already provision for opposition senators. But at that time, nobody considered that there was going to be a crossing of the floor of one of the members of the party at the time that had commanded the most support of the seats in the country. So this is a new happening for Barbados. This is something we've not seen before. I myself was a little surprised, disappointed. Maybe it's too strong a word, but I was like, what would have dictated the actions of the Honorable Joseph Hatherley? I thought of those things, but then when I heard his presentation, to some extent, I kind of understood, but still have my reservations, because there is that thought in my head that maybe he did it because he didn't get a ministry, and that doesn't sit very well with me. But I haven't had an opportunity to speak to him, to ask him, and to have an engagement with him to see what his thought process was. He said it is in view to ensure democracy, and we do need to have opposing views, and I feel very strongly about that. And it's not really opposing. We do need to have alternative suggestions, and at this time where there's so many different things that need fixing and adjusting and working on, other suggestions are welcomed. And I got a call from a good friend of mine last night saying that there's a thing called, there's an email called Ideas Barbados, if you want to make any suggestions, that you can use that. And I think that is very forward thinking for a country that recognizes that all of the skills and the competencies that don't reside in the 30 people who sit in Parliament.
Okay. On the case of the point of the fuel charge or the fuel tax, don't you think that now is going to lead to a hike in taxi fares and persons and freighting?
Yeah, and also and as you know, as a business knows that there's going to be an increase in something, the business will compensate or find a way to adjust accordingly. It was talked about on the campaign, and so as someone said, it wasn't sneaked upon us. There are some people who heard about it prior to the election. Of course, the details and the mechanics were not discussed, but it was something that was talked about. What about also the parent who has children, one at Lodge School, one at Harrison College, and then one at Alexandra, and has made a decision that, hey, I'm not letting my child use public transportation, or I don't have the facility for another friend to take my child to school, so I have to do that trek. And that trek is 3 days a week, and then one is at swimming, one goes to basketball, and the other one does ballet on Saturdays or something. You know, all of that driving as well could have implications for the gas bill at the end of the day.
Finally, what percentage of the electorate voted in the last election?
We had 111,000 plus 34,000 plus 2,000 plus 3,000 plus 1,000. And then we have a population of 285,000 odd. I think the last census has given us those type numbers. So that would be that one something divided by the 200. Sorry, that would be one. Yes, divided by 200. Now that gives you the percentage. Multiply it by 100.
All right. So who is speaking on the behalf of those persons who did not participate in the election?
Then speak for themselves if you invoke. Wait, no, pray tell me if you invoke where you want somebody to speak for you. The whole purpose of using the whole purpose of adult suffrage, using your using your vote, is that you put your vote where you want representation.
But they're Barbadians.
Right, so if they choose not to vote, even the persons who voted and it didn't go in their favor, we know the system, and the system dictates that the person who gets the majority of the votes is the person who's going to run the country, and that is the democracy that we've known for eons.
Don't you think?
And then we also have service clubs and other entities, not necessarily political, but we have other entities that speak for varying sets of persons in this country.
Don't you think that the media now has a special role to play in the scheme of things in Barbados?
The media has always had a special role to play in the scheme of things in Barbados.
Even more now.
Updating people and ensuring that people were privy to the happenings and the things that can potentially happen as well. The role of the media is to not only update and report, but also to bring attention to those things that are happening globally and, you know. And then the media isn't only limited to the newspapers. Bear in mind, there's social media. And one thing that this administration has seemed to have clearly done, not only put a minister of broadcasting and information, but also I was able to sit in my living room this morning and see the Minister of Education, the Parliamentary Secretary of Education, the Chief Education Officer, hold a press conference and talk about where education is going, talk about the results of the school, the common entrance exam, and where they plan to go and what is the perspective on boards and stuff like that. Awesome sauce. I mean, I was very impressed. So information now and media now is not just limited to, you know, what it was before. It is on time, real time. And so they do have a critical role, and us individuals, we also have a role to also read and to be updated and not be limited to what my brother-in-law calls mainstream media. Don't limit it. we need to be abreast of what's happening, and I think the onus is on us as well to do our part. I'm going to have to wrap you here. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air. This is Down to Brass Tacks. I'm on the air. You're on the air. Good morning.
A blessed good morning to you.
Good morning.
Is that the beautiful Lisa Gale?
Indomitable.
This is Mr. Agriculture.
Hey, good morning.
Any other would be come to feet. Now, let me tell you something. Do not get carried away with the Democratic persons who want to come and pull down and tear down everything that the Honorable new Prime Minister, you're only a 2-week administration, and you would know, because I have to give you kudos before I go any further, because I listened to your little speech after the budget, and you said what you had to say there, and I wouldn't advise you to detract anything you have said, because I believe that you are a creditable person, you're a woman of integrity, and I personally have to laud you for the comments that you gave after the budget speech. Let me say that first before I go any further.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Yes. Now, and there are persons, I mean, there's a gentleman who called you, and he has been calling this program. You know, I cannot tell anybody what contribution to make, but we have to be fair with ourselves. Because from time we had the mini manufacturer launch while we were campaigning, that happened in Kingsland Christchurch, he has been coming to this forum every single day in Memorial and saying that nothing in the Mayor Martley's administration would be able to work. And I mean, after he supported a government for 10 years that have destroyed our country, that the persons have lost so much faith in their governance. I don't think it is fair for him to be coming every day and trying to lambaste this new administration. What I think would be fair is give this administration time to work to clean up the erroneous mess that his administration left this country in. And don't be so blinded by partisan politics that you can't say, you know what, my administration, they have failed. They have done this country a disservice and an injustice. And I have to be one to say and to ridicule them for not calling the elections on time, not taking advice from certain finance people and persons that like yourself that have a degree in economics and whatever. They have gone down the road telling Barbadians that Barbados is in a good place. And here it is today, Lisa, that we have $2.7 billion in overruns or whatever it is. And I mean, you cannot be a humane person to be coming to John Public right now after we have gone through so much and we have elected a new government to office that are trying their best, because I know them personally. I have been part of this administration from the time I know myself. I am not coming here and barking and hollering for them because I feel like they are going to try. And I know that the Prime Minister today, she is a humane person. She loves people. She believes in this country. Have you heard from the unions what they have said, Lisa? That, I mean, in the first 2 weeks of this administration, they have met with this lady for 40 hours, and they have done more. She has met with them more than the 10 years that the Democratic Labour Party has been in office, and that alone should say a lot to the general public of this country. If you understand the direction I am going.
Interesting.
You understand where I'm going, Lisa? So I don't think that humane people in a country which has suffered and they have chopped down and lit down and destroyed should be coming now and trying to derail a government that really and truly is trying from the depths of their heart with the little bit of finances that they got to do it in, Lisa. It is unfair and it is unjust. And I want the democratic people to stop trying to pull down this government and put the lashes in their administration and let them come out to Barbados and tell them where we have gone wrong.
Two things for you. One,
yes,
is you have to refer to people as Democratic Labour Party people and not, yes, Democratic people. Because there are people who are Democratic who don't subscribe to the Democratic Labour Party posture
or policies.
And secondly, it is important that there are alternative suggestions. So I don't necessarily buy the argument that persons from either the Democratic Labour Party, UPP, Solutions, or any other person who has a different view from the ruling administration, I don't think that they should not speak or should not put forward their suggestions. What I gather, though, that you're saying is that persons from the Democratic Labour Party specifically,
yes,
seem to be, and I haven't been following the program, as regularly as I should, but you're suggesting that there has been a regularity with which persons from the Democratic Labour Party have called to decry the last two weeks of the new administration. Is that what you're suggesting?
Yes, and I thank you very much, Lisa, because I always speak under, I am subject to correction, and I thank you for letting me understand certain things. I am saying to you, I have no problem with anybody from the UPP or Solutions or any individual, even if the Democratic Labour Party people want to come, Lisa. But they have to understand is that this country was bleeding. And they had a government in office who was telling Barbadians, yes, this is going on, but this side is good. This side is showing growth. This is happening, when it is not so. And I personally have a problem because, Lisa, all of us have to pay bills. All of us have to face the supermarket. All of us who have vehicles got to go to a gas station. We have to buy bottled gas to cook our food, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But what I'm saying is you cannot be put into office and then disrespect the electorate like that. And that is why on the 24th, that the people came out and punished them the way that they got punished, because God is not sleeping.
You haven't gotten over it. Tell me something now in these last 2 weeks, post what took place prior to the 24th. What say you, Mr. Agriculture?
You mean the people on the ground?
No, meaning to get over the election now. Let us hear what are some of your thoughts, probably on the budget. What are some of the
When I was a little girl,
I used to hear some people reply. There wasn't anything in there for agriculture.
No,
there wasn't anything in there for tourism.
what I'm honestly going to say, Lisa, is that obviously, personally, from my end, I knew that we would not be able to come directly after the new administration came and looked through the books and saw how hard it was to, some bills were not paid, and the amount of, we don't have any foreign reserves, the import bill, it's all up to $800 million, etc. But what I said to myself is, I know for a fact that the Honourable Prime Minister will sit down with a good economic team and come to John Public and try to heal this economy. And at the same time, you will have certain areas where you know you may not be happy with, but you understand it because Barbados is in a hard place at this time. And a lot of people always say, shy away from going to the IMF. But I personally feel that going to the IMF was a good thing because you would have been able to go into a partnership with the IMF and gradually bring this country out of the poverty that it is in and let us start to see some growth. All I'm going to say for myself, it is hard, Lisa. I am not going to tell you that it's not hard. It is hard for me. It is hard for a lot of other people because the middle class in this country has been crippled, Lisa. And a lot of people don't want to say that because they got a lot of pride. The middle class has been crippled. So this is time now for people to start to move step by step and start to grow, start to get back their bills up to standard because a lot of people have gone back on their bills, gone back on the mortgages. A lot of people have lost their houses, lost property, lost businesses, everything, Lisa, all about for you, and I know you know these things. Huh? But this is time for us to settle down, try to see growth, and try to bring back this economy to a place that all people, not only the rich, the middle class, and the poor, will be able to survive in Barbados. And that is what this Barbados Labour Party is going to try to do. Then they'll come back later and let us know we are doing what we have to do. We will address this nation, we will help Barbados, and we will wish everybody in Barbados well. And that is what the administration that I support will do in Barbados.